This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
I'm not going to respond to your demands. I'm holding firm. I don't care what you do, what you reveal about me. Mm-hmm. I'll reveal it first. I've got a tiny dick.
God's fun.
My name is Adam Knox.
It's no. So
no,
fun.
It isn't. No, it isn't. You epically pwned me.
Yeah, fuck. I'm Ben Vanell. That was Adam Knox.
Yeah. Mm.
And Tommy?
It's very fun to imagine Ben driving to Adam's house and just like pitching his ideas for his intro out loud to himself on the half-hour drive from his house. Like, what about this? No, it's not quite right.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that I was staring into the middle distance as you were doing the intro,
yep.
Trying to think of something.
Yeah,
you got something that's very relevant and very current.
Mm.
The threats against...
Yes.
Cyberpunk.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about later, but something else that's very current.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get in there with with a little bit of before we plug our buttholes with the news.
Yes. Yes.
I just had to put the word plug because I've got a plug. We did a...
That's the best way to consume the news.
Yeah.
Print it out,
yeah.
Roll it up and put it in a little glass tube and then yeah. Just insert that into the rectum.
Mm-hmm. Makes it more exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it absorbs yeah. quicker that way, I've heard.
you just get the facts. You get,
yes,
all the chaff out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, if you really want it, like some people at the start, they just start putting the headlines up there because it's a little easier, but you've really yeah. got to put the full articles up there.
You're working up to the full, and then the thing pieces. That's
yeah.
when you really, yeah.
Yeah, when you start putting opinion up, opinions are like assholes. I've got them up mine.
Yeah.
The reason I said plug
yes.
is because I'm going to plug God. Our, we did a new Bandcamp episode. Mm. It is on filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's the history of Resident Evil because we all played that Maiden demo.
Yes.
And liked it, I think, all of us.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So
if you don't know shit about the franchise and you played that demo and liked it,
welcome to the team.
you may have been someone called Ben who's on, yes. on the episode
yeah,
with us.
There's a support group for us. No, yeah, we tell you all about it. Tommy and Knox, you guys are big fans of the franchise.
Yeah.
Knox, you have the encyclopedic knowledge of it.
That's my brain going through looking for a response to that.
Yep.
No, I was looking through all the Resident Evil things.
Yeah.
Resident Evil, Operation Raccoon City.
Yep.
Resident Evil, Gun Survivor 2.
Mm-hmm. Code Veronica.
Code Veronica.
Now yep. I know some.
Uh-huh. Resident Evil Code Veronica is the one where you get into a fight with a Qantas flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
The Code Veronicas. Remember them?
Yeah. I don't remember that story that you're referencing.
I've still got that article up my arse, so if you want to have a read of it later.
Yeah, you pulled it out. But yeah, filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com. That and a bunch of other stuff. We've done Final Fantasy. We did Naughty Dog, Grand Theft Auto. Top 10 games to play before you specifically die was a fun one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Music.
Yeah.
Best music. One about games to play in lockdown, which annoyingly is still relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's heaps
we've
of stuff.
We've done a couple
there.
Of film commentaries. If
yes.
you want to, if you've got access to one of those movies, I think Doom mm-hmm. and Pixels and
yeah.
stuff, if you've got access to them on a streaming service and you want to make them entertaining, sync up with
yes.
the commentaries that we did.
Because might I, fun. Might I say, the least popular of all of them.
Well,
but
yeah.
But they're good.
Yeah,
a lot of... demands a lot of heavy lifting of the
sure.
audience.
Sure,
not
sure,
enough
sure.
to just download it and chuck it on.
I guess so. You
I guess
look
the
up.
Having to sync up two devices is too much for some people. But hey, yeah, if you are one of those people in lockdown, then yeah, get access to one of these terrible movies and put our thing over the top of it and make it good.
Yeah.
Filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com, and they're all $1 Australian or more if you want to contribute to the show that way. Resident Evil is the newest one.
Yes.
There we go.
Also,
end of plug.
Okay. This isn't a plug. I'm just deciding to mention off the back of nothing at all that you can watch us commentate Heavy Rain on YouTube.
Yes.
It's been really fun. It's, I think, Tommy, you said last week, it's the most fun thing we're doing at the moment.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Hey, not to say that you shouldn't listen to the rest of this episode and that we're not having fun doing it.
No. We have fun doing everything.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, an A++.
Mine is getting more into butt stuff. That's the most fun I'm into at the moment.
But I think, yeah, everything.
I don't like this as a through line for the rest of the thing. That's the last time I'm going to say it.
Filthycasuals.com.au.
Take it from me. It's no good.
Yes. Go to the website or the social. Like, it's all, we post about everything all the time.
We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of different avenues out there. And yeah, the Heavy Rain playthroughs have been a lot of fun.
And we'll be having you round for dinner to talk about Resident Evil if you go to filthycasuals.bandcamp.com.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
it's me, British plugger.
Oh, I thought I was going to say that's your natural accent.
Nah, it's, I come on and I say all the other stuff we got going on, but because there's a whole bunch of news and stuff. But
you should start a British offshoot of this show called Filthy.
Filthy.
Filthycasuals.co.uk.
Filthy Casuals, you mug. I've been playing Resi. I did a big one about Resi. They all call it Resi over there.
Oh, really? Mm. Yeah. What's the worst country's internet?
I will say Egypt. I'm kidding.
What's the worst country's like internet domain? What do you call it? The like, you know.
The little end bit.
Yeah.
.tv is the best one. Tuvalu. And every time you see .tv, it's not .television. That's from Tuvalu.
Yeah.
I think the France one looks clunky. .co.fr.
.co.fr.
Well, it just looks a bit. Looks weird.
Yeah, well, that's because you're not French and you don't see it very often.
True.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
What is this .com.au? It looks strange to me, French man.
Good thing we got the plugs out of the way before.
It should be .aux. You know, like French people do like,
Actually,
.aux would be a sick.
.aux. That would be great. Yeah. Then we would be like TV as people be like, wow.
Yes.
That's what you get if you get the aux cord.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Lot of news. Lot of news this week.
We're a globe hopping podcast. A
little gap between stuff coming out here.
Yes.
Because
a very annoying gap because, yeah, so Little Nightmares 2 is today, one of the games.
Tomorrow, I think.
Today when people are hearing this, though.
Damn, hopefully time by zones. Tomorrow people are back into French jokes.
And Super Mario World 3D plus Bowser's Fury.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing those next week, at least one of those.
And Persona's out soon. I'm looking forward to a bunch of stuff that's coming out soon. But I haven't played a goddamn thing this week.
Yeah.
I haven't touched a controller.
Whoa.
Yeah. How about that?
You've been too busy.
I'm out.
Reading the news.
I'm no longer a gamer.
Whoa.
I've stopped.
Wow.
I'm going to be here to be the voice of reason. I'm going to talk about sport.
Great.
You fucking losers. Don't know what I'll be talking about.
I played this grow up.
Yeah. What did you idiots play this weekend? With yourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
I wish I'd paid attention during the last 4 years of my sport-related job.
Yeah, well, you didn't, huh?
Yeah.
You're too busy with your little Game Boys.
I was reading Reddit/games work.
Bunch of news and stuff this week. The thing we mentioned before... CD Projekt Red was the victim of a cyber attack.
Now, I've never heard of these guys. They certainly haven't been in the news much in the last few months.
No.
What would I know them from?
Newsworthy. Ever heard of The Witcher?
Mm.
The book?
Yeah. So they made an adaptation, a continuation of the book series.
Oh, the Netflix series?
Yeah. Well, that's based on the book, which the game is also based on.
Oh, there's a board game.
No.
Like Twister? Is that based on The Witcher?
A board game.
Okay, interesting you mentioned board games because they actually adapted a tabletop role-playing game into a video game.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called.
Cyberpunk 2077 obviously got all this bad. And seemingly because of that negative attention, that's why they were targeted by whatever fucking lame-ass group this was. Mm-hmm. It was like, actually... I'm going to be more careful.
Yeah.
Whatever group of cool people
yep.
really cleverly hacked yeah. CD Projekt Red for some epic lulls as yeah. far as I'm concerned.
And if they wanted to hack me, they could, I'm sure. They don't need to prove it.
No, yeah. If you know what? I give in.
Yeah.
I give yes. in already. You won.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not going to give you anything because I don't have anything to give, mm. but you can't. Fuck. I'm actually afraid now. Our password isn't.
As someone who had their identity stolen recently yeah. and a $25,000 loan taken out in their name, when I got the letter in the mail, I was like, oh, I've been epically pwned.
It was. I haven't seen that phrase in a very long time.
Yes, yes.
But they started with that. They sent them. I'm gonna have a look for the.
I mean,
the full
I guess
thing here.
When you're working under crunch conditions for 8 years, you lose some of the lingo. You know, you're stuck in the past.
Well, do you so
you know they've been in a bubble.
Yeah, do you reckon it was an internal job then, an inside job? Because this was someone from the outside. CD Projekt Red.
They tweeted about this last night, the night before we were recording, and their approach to. Not so much getting on the front foot, but how they have kind of communicated this is pretty interesting and unique for a company in this position.
So I guess I'll read the thing that... So they posted a text document that I
different guess, template to their usual apology one.
Yeah, just the white background.
Honestly, stick to the yellow. Make it look like it's an update about the game. Yeah. Like that would have been good people tuning in being like, oh, what the fuck's this going to be
about?
What
have they done in this patch? Okay.
So I guess they've just like gotten onto their computers somehow and left a file there called README Unlock. And it says the following. Hello, CD Projekt. Your have been epically pwned. Like, do a spell check.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have dumped full copies of the source codes from your Perforce server for Cyberpunk 2077, Witcher 3, Gwent, and the unreleased version of Witcher 3, which would be the new console's version.
Right.
We have also dumped all of your documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, and more, which suggests some level of, obviously, like they're saying, personal data of the employees is now in the possession of whatever fucking group this is.
Yep.
Also, we have encrypted all of your servers, but we understand that you can most likely recover from backups. Breaking in and going like, I know you're insured, but I'm still going to take this. Yeah. But I just want you to know that I know you're going to get it back. So don't think that I'm being beaten by that. If we will not come to an agreement, then your source codes will be sold or leaked online, and your documents will be sent to our contacts in gaming journalism.
Oh.
Adam Knox, Tommy Dasilo, and Ben Vanell at the podcast Filthy Cat. Your public image.
Imagine getting a shout out in the hacking document. That would be sick.
Check out my SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, this blew up.
Your public image will go down the shitter even more, and people will see how you shitty your company functions. Investors will... The thing that I take most issue with this is the spelling. Just realized, the act itself is bad also. Mm. Investors will lose trust in your company and the stock will dive even lower. You have 48 hours to contact us. So... CD Projekt then said, if you would like to hear me give their side of the story.
Yeah. Any spelling errors in theirs?
Don't know yet. They spelled project with a K.
Yeah, embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Yesterday, we discovered that we have become the victim of a targeted cyber attack due to which some of our internal systems have been compromised. An unidentified actor. It was an actor.
Oh.
Maybe this is what Army Hammer's been up to.
Yes.
Why everyone's so mad at him.
God.
Respond or I'll eat you. Leak
send
your documents.
Send me six of your thighs. from across the company, not one person, obviously. Mm. Or maybe he thinks they're octopuses. An unidentified actor gained unauthorized access to our internal network, collected certain data belonging to CD Projekt Capital Group, and left a ransom note, the content of which we will release to the public. Although some devices in our network have been encrypted, our backups remain intact. We have already secured our IT infrastructure and begun restoring the data. We will not give in to the demands nor negotiate with the actor, being aware that this may eventually lead to the release of the compromised data. We are taking necessary steps to mitigate the consequences of such a release. Every one of our employees is moving, in particular by approaching any parties that may be affected due to the breach. We're still investigating the incident. However, at this time, we can confirm that, to our best knowledge, the compromised systems did not contain any personal data of our players or users of our services.
Mm-hmm.
Because they own GOG, right?
Mm.
So if you've got a login there and credit card data, but potentially.
Yeah. Yep.
That, you know, they're saying that's not compromised, but, you know, keep your eye out. We have already approached the relevant authorities, including law enforcement. Oh, good. I wouldn't have assumed.
There's others?
Yeah. Also some mercenaries that we've hired.
Yeah, I called my cousins and the president of the Personal Data Protection Office, PDUPO, as well as IT forensic specialists, and we will closely cooperate with them in order to fully investigate this incident. Then they also tweeted a second thing following up. To our ex-employees, as of this moment, we don't possess evidence that any of your personal data was accessed. However, we still recommend caution, i.e. enabling fraud alerts. If you have any questions, please write to our privacy team, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. To our ex-employees, we don't believe that they possess your data.
Right, implying that they have every current employee's data.
Sounds like it, right? Yep. And the way that people have been about CD Projekt, you could see this in an awful, awful world mm-hmm. being real bad for those people. So, yep. I mean, it's already bad, but yeah, fucking nuts.
Really so when nuts. They're saying in that note, in the ransom note, we've got all your, like all your...
source code?
Not the source code, but where they've got all the employee details. Mm.
Legal, HR, blah,
and
blah, blah.
They'll give them to game journalists.
Yeah.
So what are they implying is in that? Like what is it that makes that a threat?
I guess the only thing, because they also say like this will make your company look worse than it already does. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this is like timesheets, hours, salaries.
Right.
You know, implying
HR's
like,
in there potentially.
No,
like,
no overtime pay, you know, like shit right. like that.
Emails suggesting that they knew that it was broken and blah, 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 that
sure,
sort of shit.
Yeah.
However, I mean, I suppose it's not the case for everyone, but every responsible journalist would never publish this information
yes.
because it came from this source.
Absolutely.
So yeah. there's not really a huge threat there. I mean, if
well,
they just put
if
it
they
all
just
in
send
a
it,
dump.
If they just yes. put it online.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened with
someone
that,
somewhere will yeah. publish it.
I mean, that Capcom stuff, that all released. And got leaked.
Mm.
Remember, there was like the big leak out of Capcom with yep. all their release dates and stuff. And people still did publish them, even going like, this may be unethical, but it's out there. People
right.
reported on it being there,
yeah.
which right. is enough for... Like when all yes. those people's fucking photos got leaked in the iCloud thing years ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
It was enough that the news companies were saying this happened. That was bad enough because then people can find it if they
don't need to print it yeah. because then right. they're alerting people to the fact that it's there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess what we're doing here...
We're part of the problem, yeah. baby.
I think the assumption from the hackers there is if you don't pay us a ransom, we will sell the information to journalists. But yeah, like you said, no journalist is paying for this.
Well,
I don't think they're even saying they'll sell it. They're just saying they'll put it out there.
Yeah, they were saying they'd sell the source code if they can.
Right, right, right.
Which
and so
maybe a competitor would buy or something. I don't know. That would be
though?
Illegal, surely.
Yeah.
yeah.
I don't know who... Maybe they would sell it to some kind of other hacking group. Who would be interested in purchasing it or just leaking it?
Yeah, it would have to be some like dodgy pirate thing that then just goes, yeah. great, now it's online on our server for free or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, true.
Which, I mean, it would suck for them. End of sentence, actually. That would be bad.
Yeah. yeah, like there's nothing about this that's going to make CD Projekt Red work harder on fixing Cyberpunk.
Oh,
like,
it's
they're already,
yeah.
you know, like nothing about this is good.
This is swatting. This is all yeah. those juvenile but very dangerous ways that people... punish
perceived flaws and mistakes
and overblown levels of the amount of wrongdoing that was done.
Mm.
If everything about CD Projekt is true, mm. all the most negative things you've heard, that they overwork employees and pay them too little, and that they misled
consumers.
People
yeah.
exactly
yeah.
all of that, if all of it is true, it's still not that bad.
No.
It's not
they
vigilante
still...
justice bad.
No. Yeah, right, right.
You know?
I mean, I think no. they are in the wrong for the rollout of that game. It's
right.
not just like a little rough around the edges and needed some work. Like the stuff that's come out about how much they knew about how broken it was. I do think they did the wrong thing. But that said, they would now be working round the clock to remedy that.
Uh-huh.
And coming in and seeing this note on the servers or however
yeah.
you discover it, it's got to be just... a fucking nightmare
yeah.
and something that ultimately, yeah, just gets in the way of the time that you're needing to spend to fix this game and make it better and, you know, like they are on this kind of like redemption tour of rolling out as many patches as they can and getting a PS5 version out, and now they've just lost a whole bunch of time to like having to have
yeah.
these like hurried internal meetings. I've seen it. It is really interesting that they shared the note. Like I've
yeah.
seen that commented on that it's a very rare thing to do. To
if legal
go, here it is.
Proceedings are taking place too, you'd imagine that they shouldn't. because of that. If they've taken it to the cop, but maybe they got the okay for it for some reason. Because the closest thing that comes to my mind with this stuff is, remember when Half-Life 2 got stolen in like 2003? Someone hacked into Valve stuff, took all the code for Half-Life 2, and eventually got put in jail for it.
Yes.
So whoever did this,
yeah,
I would imagine will be found, and I would imagine will be locked up.
Well, it's the same with the iCloud stuff. That guy got put in jail.
Right.
I don't think any of these people who have done these massive high-profile hacks have got away with it.
No, because I don't think it's that easy to get away with this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most cybercrime doesn't get punished because people don't bother to do it. But when it's a big deal like this, it happened. You can't really hide
There's
on the internet.
Usually a trail, a digital trail. It's
if
not
someone
like,
wants to find you on the internet because they've got a grudge against you because you badmouth their note on the podcast, they will find you and they will end your shit. But I've already had my Twitter account deleted, so do your fucking worst, man.
Because there does seem to be a lot of
unsuspended if you can actually for me, please.
Yes.
There does seem to be like a lot of hacking stuff that's just like, we've stolen this or we've gotten into here just because, to sort of show that we could. But to my knowledge, you don't see a lot of stuff that's like this where it's like, we want this money or we will do this.
Oh,
that's the thing that takes it into that kind of next.
It's vandalism more than other, like more actual theft for money. You know,
the Nintendo Giga leak was the other thing that happened a year ago or so.
Last year.
And that led to people, I mean, it was in the news recently, people remastering soundtracks and shit like that. Not really doing anything malicious. But it is still illegal.
And it's their intellect, like... You can imagine that corporate secrets, they want to keep their development processes.
Yes.
I think we said it at the time, like privacy is an important thing to have.
Right.
Yeah, if they wanted you to know privacy. The stuff that didn't make it into the game, like they would release that. But those hackers weren't going, we want $50,000 or we're going to release this unused sprite of Yoshi.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But anyway, like all Filthy Casual, you can download the MP3s. It's all there for you. You don't have to
hack us. Yeah. We've got nothing unreleased.
Yeah.
We've put it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. Please don't.
Except
please
for the early access stuff on YouTube.
If you want the source code.
That'll come out in a week. Just wait a week. It'll take a week to hack us anyway, so don't do it.
If you want the source code for this episode, just ask. Adam can send you the isolated microphone tracks, all three of them, not put together. If you want to mix them all up and do your own shit.
Exactly.
We would love that.
There's three WAV files. I can get them to you. I'll give you the PKF. File from Adobe Audition. I believe it's a PKF.
Yes.
That stands for please can't fuck off. Don't hack us.
Yes.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of not quite hacks, but like unreleased stuff, there was a leak of a basically finished Xbox 360 version of GoldenEye 007 that people got up and running and showed a bit of this week.
Yeah.
Which was... What was the story here? It was close to coming out, and then Nintendo blocked it, I believe.
No.
Okay.
That was the idea for years. People thought that Nintendo had some sort of the rights thing, but it was probably more likely Barbara Broccoli.
Okay.
Barbara Broccoli.
Yeah.
Barbara Broccoli. And the James Bond estate, who had a problem with it for some reason, partly because the era of Bond had moved on.
Mm-hmm.
This was after Daniel Craig had been the new Bond.
Yep.
And what I've seen that has also been contested as to whether it's true is that they didn't like that it wasn't the right Bond for now. There was something else about him.
GoldenEye Xbox Live remaster cancellation was because of Nintendo.
This was posted
one day ago.
Whoa.
By wrongnews.fucking W.
Did you pull that out of your asshole or not?
Some ex-developers have revealed that Nintendo made the decision to scrap the project.
From what I read, there were still a bunch of bugs remaining. There was like 90 bugs left.
Right.
And I guess it was about, having the time to polish it off or not having that time. Because obviously you can't release an extremely buggy game. People get mad about that.
Yeah. People will hack your source code and put it out years later.
Yeah.
Even if you don't release it, man, you can't win in this fucking industry.
No.
There's no way of doing it.
But yeah, this was like, 60 frames per second? Or is that what's been like put out now?
No, I think it runs pretty well. I've got, sitting over there, an Xbox 360 onto which you can put homebrew stuff.
Right.
So I am going to play this at some point.
Yeah, right.
From the footage, it looks like some of the multiplayer maps weren't quite finished yet, But like all of the single player people have played through it on YouTube.
Mm. That's crazy that it was that far along.
Yeah. It was almost done. Yeah. Yeah. It looks kind of and it looks like one of that era of like Xbox Live arcade game where it's pretty bare bones. You can do the thing that that Halo remaster did where you can flip between the different visual styles just by pushing one of the shoulder buttons or something. Mm. And it looks pretty good.
Did they tweak the controls to feel more modern?
I believe you have options. The Perfect Dark remaster had like you could do either.
Okay.
I think so. I think it was pretty much the same sort of deal.
Right.
But yeah, it looks pretty cool. It would have been nice if it had come out. It'd be in all those Rare Replay stuff.
Yeah.
And it is sort of weird that Nintendo were able to block it when Banjo and all of the Rare properties that they made when they were like an internal-ish Nintendo developer, they came over fine.
Mm.
Obviously, Diddy Kong Racing and Donkey Kong 64 and stuff didn't because that was Nintendo's property.
Yes.
But so something went wrong, not with the quality of the game or the amount of, or the, like, it wasn't a production issue.
Yeah.
It was purely a whatever rights holding issue thing.
Yeah. Mm. I'm just looking at a thing about it here. The biggest hurdle was getting permission from the various rights holders. Nintendo, Activision, who had secured the film series game rights at the time, and MGM, the film series overseer. Initially, the team worked on the game modestly as they waited for verdicts from every involved party before going ahead full speed. At first, the GoldenEye 007 team was told the rights were all cleared with no condition that anybody had to work on a version for a Nintendo console or any other requirements. That was all the team needed to hear to continue work on the Xbox 360 version.
Enough for me. Yeah. Time to turn my phone off for a few years.
Yeah.
However, as one of the developers puts it, when it was put to Nintendo, everyone there approved it, except they didn't check with the one guy who mattered. Apparently, there was one unnamed Nintendo executive who shut down the project, saying something along the lines of, "There is no way a Nintendo game is coming out on a Microsoft console." But as mentioned above, Xbox purchased Rare most of its titles. Most, not all.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess it hadn't been part of that when they did that deal, when Xbox, when Microsoft bought them, they had, like, the not reason that Banjo on, like that had been in all of that, but obviously because it being a film license thing, it hadn't carried over.
Makes sense, but it's cool that it's out there for in terms of preservation stuff. It's old enough that I don't think ethically it's wrong for it to be out there. No one was going to put it out. No one wanted, like, I personally don't have any sort of moral issue.
You're
with
not
that.
Taking money out of anyone's pocket at this point by not chasing down a secondhand copy of the cartridge from 1997 and firing up the 64. So
It's kind of cool that just that little piece of untold history has finally been revealed.
Yeah, it's cool, and I mean, it doesn't. It feels like definitely something. I'll be interested to hear what you make of it because it feels like something that you definitely have to have the nostalgia glasses on for. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that, you know, a 15-year-old could pick up now having no attachment to the original and have a ripper of a time with. I think a lot of it would have dated. Like, it's
It's a different type of shooter than what they make now in the way it controls, especially. It's a different Bond.
Yeah,
does anyone care about James Bond still, even?
Yeah.
There's a new movie coming out, I guess, still.
Yeah,
I think that was meant to be out last year.
You kind of actually, I don't know. Had you guys seen the movie before you played the game?
No.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Because it came out...
It came out a fair while after like a couple of years, the game came out after the movie.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I think I had seen it, but I don't remember. I've never been into James Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't remember... I don't remember having any, like, attachment to... I don't remember being excited for it being, like, a GoldenEye game. Mm. I just remember... Like that, that company that have made other stuff that I like and seeing it in the magazines and being like, oh, this looks cool. And also not the sort of game that you were getting on the Nintendo 64 at the time.
Totally.
Mm. And then hearing about the multiplayer of it. But it is so funny that, like, there's this game adaptation that has, you know, this huge kind of nostalgia and, like, love for it that so massively surpasses the attachment that people have to the movie.
Mm.
Like, you never hear people talk about the movie anymore. Like, no one gives a rat's ass about the GoldenEye film.
Famke Janssen. Mm. Maybe she talks about it still. She was in it.
Okay. Oh, yeah? Yep.
Yeah,
she
could.
Maybe she brings it up.
Yep.
Is that why you picked your phone up before?
No. Yeah, it was. Famke Janssen tested me. She said, hey, big boy. Stop messaging me.
Yes.
I've got all your HR records.
I do remember at the time as well it being known about that they were making it and then like, oh, where'd it go?
Oh.
So, yeah, it's cool that it exists now. put out BC and all those other like old StarCraft Ghost. I think that's out there somewhere, actually.
Yeah.
Tell you who else is out there, Jerry. EA's expectations for Anthem.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't know the result of this meeting that's been, you know, announced.
Behind closed doors this week.
Yes.
That Jason Schreier guy who used to work for Kotaku and now works for Bloomberg put up a thing saying like EA is reassessing or like is looking at the work they've done so far on the like retooling of Anthem.
Anthem Next.
That's what No Man's Sky was called as well. It was No Man's Sky Next.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. We're going to have to wait for the next version of games all the time now.
Yep.
After the fucked version comes out.
Mm. It was Origins for a while. That was the key word.
Yep. Then that's Rising.
Yes.
And those were the two big ones.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Infinite. There's two games called Infinite.
Uh-huh. Anthem Awakening might come out though. So they're like assessing whether or not the progress they've made on this new version of Anthem, first version of which, the one that came out, we all found very boring. Mm. I think we all played. Did you play it?
No, I never played it.
Well, you and I, Ben.
Yeah.
Not a good game.
No, like a fine, like an okay game.
Not awful.
Yeah. Visually pretty cool. I love the hub world or the hub town. Like it was. A lot of creativity went into it, but not a lot of. Not enough, I guess.
Yeah. It was. The story was fucking flat.
Yeah.
Which was the disappointing thing with it being a BioWare game.
Mm-hmm.
The jetpack was kind of cool, but the combat stuff was just so bland.
Mm-hmm.
And repetitive and low stakes.
Yeah.
That the whole thing just felt really flat, and I think that was everyone's kind of feeling about it at the time.
I think the emphasis being on like semi-multiplayer co-op-y stuff.
Right.
And it just not breaking through the Destinies and the other things that had established massive user bases.
Unlike Destiny, not really having the content there at the start, so even if people did get into it, there wasn't that much for them to get into.
Yeah.
Every aspect of that game almost, other than maybe the visual design and the jetpack, went wrong.
Yeah.
So they put out a thing saying like, don't worry everyone, we got a vision for Anthem. We're going to be putting out this and that and that. And then, 2 years have gone by, more than 3 years or something, and none of that's happened.
Yeah.
Because they've been, like, a team of 30 has secretly been working on, not secretly, we know about it. We're talking about it now.
Yeah.
Secretly up until now.
Sure.
Yeah. They did announce they were going to.
Yeah.
They just weren't reminding us every week.
Okay. So they've publicly been working on.
Yes.
But quietly.
Yeah.
So like they're at a state library. It's public but
furtively.
Quiet.
It's state library that's like there's no, it's all glass walls. So people can see them.
If
they're
in
a library, they're quietly. Mm. But if people walk past, they can see them in there working on it.
Sometimes they kind of went behind some of the books and you're like, what are they doing back there?
Sure.
Right.
They're like, oh, I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Shh.
Shh, nobody wants to talk about Anthem. So
it's people coming up to them and shushing them.
Yeah, they're not even in the library. You're boring people.
Shh, shut up. Tell me where Destiny is.
Yeah.
You deleted how much from it? They may be redoing Anthem. EA is assessing whether or not this is worth pursuing or if they're just going to can the whole thing.
Yep.
So soon, you assume, we will find out whether or not Anthem is deleted from our memories forever or is brought back kicking and screaming into a second bland version of it, I am certain.
Yeah, yeah, you think that it's just more of the same?
Unsalvageable.
Yeah. Okay.
In my opinion. And like, what's the point of salvaging it too?
Mm.
Part of that game's problem is that it was such a also-ran, also-flew-by jetpack. By the time it came out, that even if it had been a good version of that, I still personally wouldn't have found it interesting.
Yeah.
Like a Division or like a whatever. There's so many of those sorts of games. A Warframe, a fucking World of Tanks.
Yep.
I've been on my phone before. I've seen targeted advertising.
I mean, when you have a good franchise to focus on, why would you... I don't think they will continue with Anthem because they've got Mass Effect Legendary Edition coming out.
Right. They're working on a new Dragon Age. They're working on a new Mass Effect.
Mm.
They've already recalibrated into these other directions.
Yeah.
I would say if you took a poll of people, do you want a fixed version of Anthem? A lot of people would say, nah, too late.
Yeah. And so, especially if the poll was, would you rather a fixed version of Anthem or a good new Mass Effect game, right? Like,
would you rather we spend all this time making Anthem medium or have legs where your arms are meant to be?
Or fight a duck-sized horse?
Yeah.
I mean,
would you rather or have always have no teeth at all or have too many teeth?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
So would you rather have eyes in your palms or your hands, like the Pan's Labyrinth, or would you rather have ears on your legs so you can hear your feet?
Oh, man.
Ears on legs.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no. They're going to be covered up by pants most of the time.
Yeah, you figured out. You got my trap, man.
Yeah, useless. Yeah. I'll have their hands on their palms. Thanks.
Fuck
Thank you.
Pammy Anderson. that's we didn't really talk about this last week, the Mass Effect thing. But
oh, yeah.
It looks cool. They've said, or maybe it was reported, that there are large changes being made to Mass Effect 1.
Like just tightening of controls and stuff like that, it seems like. Nothing, like, don't expect it to be Mass Effect 2 and 3 with Mass Effect 1 stuff.
Yes.
I think it's still going to be that game.
Yep.
They're getting rid of some of the, like, the butt shots of Miranda from 2.
Yes.
They've turned up the, like, visual effects of the lens flare and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like what you'd imagine that remastered to kind of be, right?
Yeah.
But not bad.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Mm. You two cunnies bloody bang on about it day and night, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm always yapping
going
away.
In.
Yeah. It's the opposite of Anthem, honestly. Yeah. No one shuts up about it.
Should you tell me more about that? Yes.
Yeah.
Fact that I replayed it like a year and a month ago is fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I should have waited.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit, we talk about this on the Bandcamp of Resident Evil, which you can find out through the casuals pod.
Yeah.
Bandcamp.com. I haven't played 4 for, I haven't really played 4 since I played it originally. And I've got it.
Oh, Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. I've got it sitting on the Switch. I bought it before a flight and then never touched it. And I'm kind of itching, after talking about it and finishing 7, I'm kind of itching to go back in. But I know the remake's coming down the pipe.
I personally think you should play it so that they announce the remake the next day.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. If I get
take a
more
bullet
than
for us,
20% of the way in, it'll just be shadow dropped. It'll be overnight. It's up there on the store now.
Yeah. Not a free upgrade though, so sorry.
But yeah, living in the world of constant remakes and re-releases and stuff, anything that's like slightly old that you have a bit of a hankering, you're like, I've got a feeling it's gonna.
I know.
An upgrade's coming in 6 months' time.
Well, maybe that sort of thing would be announced this year at E3.
At what?
Electronic 3 is what I was going to say, but I decided not to. E3.
Yep.
It will be happening again, but online.
Even more electronic this year.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you're going to need a electronic-powered computer device to watch it.
Yep. You could hook it up to a bike.
True. Yeah, true.
That's still electricity, just being generated a different way.
That's true. Yeah, petrol generator is still producing electricity.
Yeah.
If you had a
hold
friend,
it under a waterfall.
Yep,
oh,
yep.
Yes.
Do it.
If you had a friend watching it and conveying the information to you via smoke signals.
Yeah, maybe three friends. Maybe 3 friends who host a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe they could tell you what happened.
If you can listen to the podcast not through electronic means.
Yeah.
An analog podcast.
Oh shit. Print it onto a record. We'll bring you a vinyl version of the E3 episode.
Yeah, transcription. Okay, yeah.
And then you just have to spin it with one of those cranks.
Yep.
And then you can... Anyway, why are we talking about this for so long?
What?
E3 will be
funny.
Disagree.
Why don't we spend an hour every week just talking shit about games?
About toys.
Yeah. Oh, no. Is that a moment of clarity?
If you did print podcasts on vinyls, most... Like, we put them as 33s, but people would listen to them on 77 or whatever, 75.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1.5 times joke.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
You get it?
Still freaks me out that people do that.
Oh,
I understand, like, they have a lot of podcasts they like, and that's why.
Zip through them.
You zip through them. They're probably, we probably talk like this.
Yeah. If we ever meet people who are like that, do our voices sound weird?
Do we sound like we're stoned?
Yeah.
Or like,
someone said, I think in the Discord, that they were watching the YouTube The Heavy Rain Let's Play, and they thought they were like drunk or something. Like, what is going on?
I hate it. I'm sorry. Like, if you've got like time constraint, not to shit on you if that's what you do, but I hate that. That's a fun. It's like going.
It makes me feel.
Oh man,
weird.
I've got a big backlog of movies I need to get through. I'm just gonna watch them all on fast forward. Mm-hmm. It's like. I don't know. It seems insane to me. Yeah.
We're like the Wes Andersons of podcasts where like you've got to watch it in the right aspect ratio.
Yeah.
You've got to make
Every
sure you listen to
is
it
a painting.
Yeah.
Auteur podcasting.
I'm saying this sentence right in the center of another 2 sentences.
Yeah.
Which is the Wes Anderson way. Really middle frame this sentence. Each sentence is symmetrical. I'm always you know what I'm talking about here?
I'm leaving your room to
Well, it feels like I don't like this empty space. What
race
are you?
Car.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, now the microphone's pulling out from Adam and it's kind of slowly panning over to me and
I'm played
slowly
by Ed Norton,
zooming
by the
in
way.
On me so that I can say this sentence.
Anyway,
comedy's all about timing and listening to it at an extra half speed. Like going, man, these guys aren't funny. Because you fucked up the timing. It's your fault.
What if they find us more funny? That's the disturbing thing.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Do my stand-up faster.
Also, do whatever you want. Like, good for you. Yeah. I wish that I had as much stuff on that I needed to listen to podcasts fast. But I got all day, baby. Yeah. I listen to them slow.
Yeah.
That is funny going, I need to listen to this extra fast so I can fit in more podcast listening. Not imperative. Not imperative at all.
But thanks for listening.
But anyway, E3, it of course got cancelled last year and there was no, like, obviously couldn't be a live event and then they just didn't, they had no kind of, you instead just had Sony doing their state of play.
Yeah,
and
which
a few press conferences and stuff.
That every games developer and publisher seemed to prefer. Like they got to control the entire presentation and I don't think there's been any word of like who's bought into this potential E3 thing either.
Good question.
Yeah, it'll be them. It's just basically them announcing that they're going to provide the infrastructure, right? Which they didn't last year. They just, because I think it was still, it was relatively late in the piece, I guess.
Mm.
Like everything here got shut down in like March and the States was still kind of kicking along for a bit. It was probably like around that same time. So it only left them with like a couple of months to get all of that up and running and work out how to do it. So you can kind of understand why it wasn't feasible to do, but they've now had a whole year to work on it. And
But
it is a tough sell, like for all the other companies that just did it themselves through their own channels to go back to now like, hey, so you've got to do it on this week and presumably pay to be hosted on our server and our site and all
you
that kind of stuff.
You have to pay a six-figure sum to be in it.
$6.
Six figures. Six figures.
You have to give them six statues?
Yeah, about what? $600 or what? No.
$0006?
$006. Yeah, that's how the decimal system works.
More than $100,000 it costs.
That's fucking insane.
To be in this E3 thing. Their intention is to hold multiple two-hour keynote sessions from partners and an awards show. But this also hasn't been approved by the members of the board of the ESA who they are. So looking at it a little bit further, it will not happen.
We all said this last year that it would be surprising if E3 returned, I thought, in any form. I think, Tommy, you assumed maybe that it would come back in a digital form. I was like, this is the end of E3. But
I really think like having a, I guess it's like I love that week traditionally when it's been on. Mm. And for the podcast and just also loving video games and, you know, knowing when the press conferences are and like being excited to see all that stuff roll out. It was nice that it happened in this like one centralized week. And I've said this on the show before, like, the dream would be having that happen, having those presentations happen, and then having like timed demos go up for everyone at home, and having it be a thing where, like, you know, oh look, there's no show floor, and like the physical and that only being open to journalists in the past has lost its relevance. But now everyone who's watched this thing can get on and play for this week. An hour demo of this game that we're showing off.
Yeah.
That would be fucking great.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. But
I enjoyed when it was all crammed into the 1 week. That was really fun.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't come back, like last year was actually fine having everything all spread out like that.
Yeah.
In my opinion, 2020, just fine. I enjoyed it.
Nothing to complain about.
Everything being spread out, I thought I'd miss it, but I didn't notice, really.
Yeah.
I had other stuff going on,
maybe. That's very true, yeah.
But I mean, and there has been similar, or like, demo events. Steam, I think, has done a couple of them now.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, mostly, if not all, indie games.
Yeah.
But yeah, they put up like 20 games that you can play the demo for a week.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, it's not the same communal experience.
No, I'm not a big demo guy anyway, though. So, you know, fuck that idea off, cunt.
I guess, yeah. I guess like letting go of it too, like saying that it's going to be like saying that it's a shame that it doesn't exist. I'm clinging to the nostalgia of like getting the gaming magazines back in the day and seeing the like screenshots of like, oh, wait, it's like, well, that's gone anyway. Yeah, like that information just doesn't exist in that way anymore.
I miss
so,
E3 2003.
Yeah.
Right.
Or E3 2016 was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was when they announced God of War and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then
Sony fucked off from E3 anyway.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it was already got on its way out. Happy to see it. Well, not happy, but
if this
doesn't pan out, which it sounds like it may not, you know, we've got other things.
Yeah, I'd like if it goes ahead, it would be weird if they persist in doing this and just have a handful. You know what I mean? If it's going to happen, you want it to be that thing where everyone's all in and it happens on that week.
Yep.
Or it just doesn't happen at all. If it's them going like, hey, E3's on, and it's just like two developers doing a conference through them, it's
well,
like...
Well, it got to the point where the developer ones were even too much, where like I'd be bored by the Ubisoft and the EA and the Activision. Like they all had their own little ones with like three things to announce. It's like, we've got a quad bike game. It won't come out though.
Yeah.
Okay, who cares?
Yeah.
So, you know, should it continue or not? That's the question. Do you hear that word at the end there, Ben?
Yeah.
Question.
So I haven't actually been paying attention for the last 10 minutes. We've got some listener questions, though.
Coincidence.
There's obviously we haven't played really any new releases this week. So we put the call out to our patrons in the Facebook group and the Discord. So, you know, being a patron might get you a question onto the show.
Or what you can just email as well. I don't really care.
Either way.
Yeah.
But these are all from our patrons. And so, there's a whole bunch of them. Let's just rip through them. This first one is from Joseph. Which Mortal Kombat character do you think you'd have the best chance of beating in a one-on-one fight? I assume in real life they mean.
One of the ones that's been... any of them.
Whoa!
As long as they've been turned into a little baby. In the...
Is it a babality.
Yeah. Which one is that? Is that two or three?
Three. I reckon.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you might have been able to tell from how long I said, that was a guess.
Yep.
One of the... Like the normal Johnny Cage...
He's just an actor, but he's able to fight like all of these, you know, big fucking quad-armed, huge motherfuckers.
Mm.
A very violent game. Not into it.
Too scary for me.
I have never been in a real fight in real life.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. Maybe a really bad one and I got the shit knocked out of me. But I don't believe that I've been in a fight, so I would probably be able to king hit any of them.
Oh,
I reckon if I got the advantage at the start.
King is in Tekken.
Ah, shit, yeah.
You fucked up there.
Yeah, no, none of them. They're all very dangerous. Crazy question.
Yeah.
None of them.
You
knew that was the answer.
This is a question you might have a better chance at answering. What video game moment made you the most horny? That's from Scott.
The Babalities. Same answer.
Different kind of babe, though, you mean?
Yeah, no,
hopefully.
Gee, shouldn't have asked.
Video games are one of the unhorniest things in the world.
And never less horny than when they're trying to be horny.
Very true.
A video game trying to be sexy is the most embarrassing thing, maybe, in
exactly.
the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. To me. And also, even if you feel like it's potentially something that if it were a real world thing, you could be titillated by, just remembering that a team of people put this polygon model together and thought, this is horny stuff.
Yeah.
They're
most beautiful when they don't know they're beautiful. Is that how the song goes?
The number of fucking boobs that Hideo Kojima has tried to dangle in front of my face to get me to crack one, and he has not succeeded yet. I am floppy as a fish, sir.
I think the answer is none. No moment of video games.
Hideo Kojima's next game should be, he should license those pop-up ads that are the try not to come challenge. If he paid for the rights to that ad and made
Kojima
a video game adaptation.
Directing like a really, really overdramatic, melodramatic version of like Marge fucking Bart.
Yeah, Lois from Family Guy with big knockers.
Mm. Now, Peter, the meaning of life is difficult to source if you're lonely from the blah, blah, blah. I know that there are, and I've never really played you know, the porno games. There are plenty of adult games, especially now that we've got VR headsets. The world is our oyster if we choose to, or clam, I should say. But the
the world is our fish taco.
The appeal of them to me is exactly zero. So Austin Powers Pinball.
Obviously.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one from Joshua. Would you be into another handheld entering the market like in previous gens, or is Nintendo / phones enough?
Yeah. So
here's something I have done. I tried out the Xbox streaming thing.
Oh!
We don't have xCloud here.
Right.
This is streaming from your console to your phone. It's on iOS things now, so I gave it a bit of a go.
Yes.
The current Xbox controllers don't yet connect properly to iPhones.
Well, that's a problem.
The old ones do.
Okay.
And other controllers, Bluetooth controllers do. You can use a PS4 controller.
Right.
So, which is really weird. But so it goes over, you need a certain, it lets you do it with whatever kind of internet setup you have, but it gives you a recommendation of, here's what your up speed should be, here's the down, da-da-da.
Right.
I know that I have above it, and it still was a little slow.
Right.
I don't know if that's some problem with my network here.
Isn't it a modem thing? Because it's not. Or is it literally going
so I
over
tried
the
it,
internet?
I
or
tried
is it, going
it with 5G.
And
tried it on the Wi-Fi at home. The Wi-Fi was a little better. But conceptually, and with how much it does work, like I was trying to play Forza.
Right.
Which is a racing game. You need pretty, up to the minute controls.
Up to the second.
Up to the split second, it turns out. Or Blur, my two favorite 360 racing. I just said the name of a thing and so it derailed me. It might work better for something like an XCOM.
Where
you a turn-based thing or a menu-driven kind of thing. If you were playing Persona or whatever over a, I mean, that's not on the Xbox, but you get what I mean.
I mean, yeah, I've streamed my PS5 to my PS4.
Yeah.
Because I have my PS4 hooked up to my computer monitor. So it's just a convenience thing of like, and for streaming stuff, it actually goes through my capture card.
Right.
And I was playing, I think, Star Wars Squadrons, and it was okay, but it was not worth the split second delay.
Yeah.
I don't think, to go into the other room. And if that's the case for, streaming stuff to a phone, I don't think it'll be worth it.
Well, with the direct streaming from the console, yes. But it's worth pointing out this is different to their xCloud thing, which is a dedicated streaming service, which is meant to be better.
You'd assume they've built in fail safes for lag and stuff. Like they're not expecting, it to be one-to-one from a thing you can see to another thing you can see, I guess.
Right. So, but it was cool. It's really cool seeing it just fucking going on the phone, and it sort of worked when it was over the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and the idea that potentially in the next 5 to 10 years, it works a lot more seamlessly where you have a PlayStation 6 that is...
Wait,
hold on.
Whoa. Holy shit, can you imagine?
That is plugged in at home, you're somewhere in another part of the world on your iPad streaming
looking for grain in the Badlands time that's out.
The idea that you can basically be doing essentially what the Switch does, taking these high-end games with you on the way. I kind of think that that's what he's asking is, would we like to see a new dedicated handheld console?
Do we want Sony to release the Vita 2 or something?
Now having the Switch, like, I don't want them to go back to, like, their next thing being a console and then also having the DS2 or whatever. Like, I'd much rather, rather than PlayStation fuck around with a new Vita or whatever, I'd much rather the future of that kind of stuff be, you can stream this, while you're away onto an iPad or whatever, or you can take this console with you. Like, I'm so much more happy for that to be the future of portable gaming. I don't want to go back to a heavily, heavily downgraded experience and games that are just completely different to the type of game that you'd get at home.
Because we can't get the xCloud thing here, or you can if you're in the beta thing and you've got an Android device.
Oh, yeah.
But just seeing proof of concept, the Xbox playing on my phone,
yep,
fucking cool.
Yeah. Right.
It
yeah.
really right. is exciting that that could be exactly what you're describing, the alternative to ever having a handheld again.
And if you've got a nice new laptop or a big iPad, that right. crisp yeah. screen, like taking that with you and being able to play shit on that.
Exactly. Imagine if like a big company with the infrastructure to do it, like Google or someone did this too. It'd be crazy.
Oh. Yeah, because yeah, I've been playing a couple of more little things on the iPad. I've gone back into Grindstone. I don't know if either of you guys have played that, but it's on Apple Arcade. I think it's on most things now, actually, but it's part of Apple Arcade. It's this like really great puzzle game where you're a little. It's like a matching colors kind of puzzle thing. So it's a grid, and you're a little Viking warrior dude, and you're kind of in the middle of this grid of different colored monsters, and you basically have to find a little path of same colored monsters, and then if you get I think a certain number in a row you can switch colors. So it's all about yeah. kind of like plotting your way through, and then when you chop through them, different little gems and stuff drop from the sky, and then you've got to like cut your way back through, and you've got to take out a certain number of them in each level before the door opens and you can get out.
Right.
And it's just really great presentation, really satisfying puzzling game. But yeah, I've been playing a bit more of that, like going back in on that. And yeah, just I've got this Apple Arcade subscription, and I always forget that it's there because yeah, playing stuff on. I've got that nice big iPad.
Yeah,
the screen's beautiful. Stuff looks great on it. Mm. I keep forgetting, like, fuck, I should play more stuff on this because it's like, yeah, I've just got this great device for it sitting right there.
Yeah.
I use it for other stuff, but I never think to play games on it.
We're never not going to have these devices with us for the rest of our lives now.
It's yes.
We're moving further and further in that direction, if anything.
Yeah.
So chuck it all on there.
Yeah.
Leave my box at home and fucking give me the fucking games wherever I am already. Send them out to me. Yeah, so no dedicated handhelds anymore probably, which is a shame, but there's, you know, no more.
But we don't need them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Yeah. yeah. Do we want to do the non-video games questions?
No.
I refuse. I'll never give you an answer.
All right. This one's... what do you think... Wait, when do you think a new revision to the PS5 and Series X may come out? Do you think hardware revision is as necessary as previous gens? And if a substantial upgrade came out, like the PS5 Pro or whatever, do you think that we would like it? / would there be a market for it?
Those ones last time were really successful.
Yes, I think that there will always be a market for improved things. Yeah. I don't think they need to fuck around with creative branding or whatever. Just say, this is more powerful, and people with the money will buy them.
I mean, Xbox has angled their consoles from the beginning of this generation to already be in this model.
Yes.
Where the S and the X can play the same games, yeah. but one is weaker than the other.
Yeah.
So 100% in, what, 2024? They'll do that because the other ones came out in 2013 and then the Pro came out in 17.
Yep.
I think. Is that right? Maybe 16. Maybe it wasn't even that long. Maybe it was 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it was, that mid-refresh, it worked for them.
Yeah.
Every rumor is that Nintendo's doing the same thing with the Switch now. They did it in the past with DSIs and new 3DS and shit. So,
well, especially with their handhelds
more
than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, they revised them, and something that you're taking around with you is more prone to wear and tear. I mean, mine certainly, like, I'm fanging for an upgrade.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I would probably upgrade. I don't know what yet the upgrades would be for me because these run things at 4K, which is what the majority of TVs are, and I can't see people having 8K in 3-4 years' time.
Yeah, I do wonder if maybe the gaps are going to be more drawn out as it becomes, as things start to get so good and it gets harder and harder. It's like, how much more... It basically comes down to how much more photorealistic can you make that, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're all striving for in terms of graphical fidelity and perfection.
One day video games will look like Toy Story. Can't wait.
I mean, we've already got rid of load times, so it is, I guess, how beautifully photorealistic can something look and not have a load time, I guess.
And run well.
Yeah.
Run at a good frame rate.
I'd be torn about upgrading the PS purely because I never got the PS4 Pro, and so playing stuff on the PS5, where I'm basically playing the PS4 Pro version of it.
But even a little better than those, right?
Yeah, but it looks fantastic. So it part of me goes, oh, well, seeing how much better that is, I probably would go in on a PS5 Pro. But
this is like you're doing it longer to make the feeling at the end of it. But there's like the Sting version of getting consoles where you're doing like tantric console.
Exactly. Yeah. So holding out, I did read a thing, someone saying like, oh, the sting of the PS5 and how it upscales things was kind of taken out for me because I had the PS4 Pro.
Yeah,
and I felt
kind of
like waiting it out made it kind of hit a bit harder. So I don't know. Now that I've seen the benefits of it, I would be tempted, but also, knowing how much better it is if you kind of wait it out. Like, it's like iPhone models too. If you miss two or three, by the time you do upgrade, it's like, oh, wow, this is so much better than if you just get like every new one that comes along. It's a lot more incremental.
Going from the One X to the Series X, the biggest improvement for me is the aesthetics of the actual console.
Right.
That's the thing I've noticed the most. I think that thing looks really fucking cool.
Yeah. But I'm not a mid generation upgrader.
Mm.
I think that's also the way I view PCs. I bought a PC like 5 or 6 years ago and I just bought a graphics card for it.
Right.
So that, I think, is going to tide me over for, you know, the next little while.
And that's fair enough. I mean, if it run, the thing with the last generation of consoles too is when they came out, especially the Xbox, was considered a little underpowered from what the capabilities of like a decent PC at the time were. These consoles, that's not the case. These kind of match up to a upper-ish level of PC.
Yeah.
So it will take longer, like you were saying, Tommy, for people to feel the need to see better than this.
I never felt that need during the PS4 lifetime. Like I
feel a constant burning in the pit of my stomach to always be consuming.
I never noticed performance issues in games, really. Like maybe control, but like that was like the one game.
Right.
I think I got all the way to the end of the generation and like, the fans were loud, but then I cleaned them at some point and they weren't loud anymore. So
right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not.
I do wonder, because at a certain point, everything looks photorealistic. It's 4K. Mm. You've got ray tracing and everything can do that and still run at 60 frames per second. And so, where do you go? Mm. What's the next iteration? Then is it everything has a VR mode as well that looks that clear? I mean, I get probably something along those lines,
and
but I do feel like
the
gaps
be
will become. Mm. Yeah, fuck. Mm.
It'll keep going forever.
It is crazy to think that there was a time when like you looked at a DVD and went, it doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah. I remember when DVDs came out being like, but we've already got videos.
Yeah.
They don't even look any better.
Yeah.
And now I'll kill a DVD if I see it in the street.
Do you remember that ad that they would put at the start of VHSs for DVDs? And it was like, this is how much better DVD is. And it was like a clip from Speed. And it was like, look how much better. And I remember thinking, but you can do this on the VHS ad for the DVD. Why don't you just make the VHS look like this?
More questions. What is a game you loved that was mostly not well received or rated well by the general public or critics? Huh. I guess those are two different options. It's from Travis.
I could do it the other way around. I could tell you a bit about Hellblade. Interesting.
I don't know if I loved Cyberpunk, but I liked it. But of course, that's entirely dependent on the platform I played it on.
Yeah, I don't think it in terms of like the game that's underneath it. Critically, it was well received. I don't think it was panned.
Mm.
I mean, I'm on record as a big fan of ARMS when that came out. That didn't really get much in the way of love from people, critically or otherwise. I don't think it got panned.
Yeah, what are some games
definitely
that did get panned?
Yeah.
Some panned games,
I guess something that by the time I've seen that it's...
Yeah, there you go. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Not as good.
Nah.
But, I contributed.
Overcooked 2.
I threw something in there.
I guess by the time I've seen something has been really torn apart,
I put my microphone down for 2 seconds.
It fell off the table and Knox caught it in midair. That was very impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty cool guy. What were you saying, sorry?
By the time I've seen something, because I do a bit of a look around before I go in on something. Mm. So, if I've seen that something is, or if it looks like it's going to be really, really bad, I can't really think of anything I've played that has just been savaged. Like I've liked stuff more than the average. Like I've played stuff that's been sitting on around a 7 out of 10 average wise critically, and I've finished it and really, really enjoyed it.
Mm.
But that's a lot different to loving something. That's like liking something more than the average, which the average is still like the consensus is that it's fine.
Yeah, it's,
and
yeah,
connecting with you in a way where it's like, it's more than fine. You know, I'm seeing a bit more in it.
Mm.
But that's different to people going, I hate this and it's bad.
Yeah.
Which typically stuff getting very, very bad reviews is like, this is broken and it doesn't run properly.
Sometimes.
And it's a bad experience.
You were into No Man's Sky, Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say No Man's Sky. And I loved it at the time of the release. And I've checked in every time there's been an update.
Mm.
But also, I think I've mentioned this on the pod before. Like, I'll finish a game and move on. So, yeah. Like, I've enjoyed those updates. And I kind of wish that they were there when it launched. But I did love it when it launched. I put in like 100 hours when that game came out. I don't know if the game was savaged by critics as much as it was consumers, though. But, yeah, either way.
Again, it's a bit of the cyberpunk thing where the noise kind of drowns out the actual, like...
Yeah.
Star Wars Battlefront 2, I thought was really good at the time. I remember saying I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff with the microtransactions and whatever, I'm a little foggy on the details now this far out. But I liked the single player in that, especially. Mm. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, me too.
And
I feel like it's a bit more... I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I feel like often... Because back in the day when you would get something, you didn't, you know, you're a kid and you didn't have as easy access to reviews. So you'd maybe be drawn in by the box. And so they'll every now and then there'll be something that I have very fond memories of going like, man, that is a stone cold classic.
Mm.
And then you look it up and you find out, oh, this got absolutely panned and people hate it and it's got this bad legacy. And you just had no idea. You're like, what? I thought, you know, I loved it. I thought it was great, you know.
Crash Test Dummies on the Sega Mega Drive.
Yes. Mm. Love the Crash Test Dummies.
Mission Impossible on the Nintendo 64.
No, that was bad.
Mischief Makers on the Nintendo 64.
I actually really liked Mischief Makers.
Mischief Makers was great.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That should get that deserves a little reboot.
I think opinion has swung around on it in recent years as
right.
well.
Right.
Mm. Where like, because opinion's going the other way on Breath of the Wild where people are like, it's not actually that good now. And that is crazy to me.
Yes.
Mischief Makers, the problem with that was...
That's a crazy voice.
The problem with that was they made a 2D platform at a time when everything was... I remember the reviews being like, why are we going back to fucking... Come on, guys, we've moved on.
2D games around the advent of 3D, like Rayman, like Castlevania, Symphony of the Night. A lot of those 2D games, people are like, it's in 2D, which is obviously just innately bad now, but it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, a bunch of those Wii games I enjoyed. So, like, some of the ones that were GameCube updates, like the Mario Power Tennis, I think it was called, on Wii.
Right.
And even a lot of the Wii, like the Nintendo, like Wii Party and Wii Music and even Wii Sports, I loved. They're not necessarily good games, like, at all, let alone the reviews.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But I had a lot of affection for those, I think because I could only afford to buy a Wii at that time. It was, like, in that ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to have a think. I'm going to try
them
and...
with other people too.
Yeah.
It's good. They're called Wii for a reason. There's no I in Wii. It's two.
It's two, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to try and... I'm going to have a think about this and come back to it maybe next week of stuff that I've loved that, then realizing the critical consensus did not line up with my thought.
That could be like a fun little special thing to do is like go games that we thought the opposite of.
Yes.
Yeah.
The most people. Maybe do that as like a little band camp. Do we have a Bandcamp page? Yes, we do. Filthy Casuals podcast.
No.
Filthy Casuals
pod.bandcamp.com. There's way more of the opposite of games that I did not like that were well received.
Yeah.
But that's a little negative.
That's a little negative, and that's kind of less interesting than loving something that is.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is,
loving
universally
something that's broken.
Mm. Thank you to my girlfriend.
Thank you to my girlfriend as well. Thank you to everyone who's ever loved us.
Yes.
Even the ones who no longer do.
Yeah.
Thank you for nothing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good riddance.
Next. Let's do like maybe two more questions.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it sounds like you maybe want to like fix the mistakes of the past there, Adam.
No, I'm happy with who I am.
Okay.
Where I'm at.
I won't do the question about which game or series would you want to remake then? Let's move on to it. But yeah, this is a question we get occasionally when we do get questions.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't like remakes. Like, I appreciate ones that are done well, but I would prefer that a studio's time and effort went into a brand new thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Or even a sequel. Like, sure, if it's the same property, do something new.
Maybe there's a bad game that they could remake because it had potential.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh.
Or, something like that. Skyward Sword. I'd love to see them have another go at Skyward Sword. I don't like there being a bad Zelda game.
Yeah, yes.
But there is. Skyward Sword.
It depends a bit on, like, I really like I on paper I agree with you. Like I would rather the time go into a new version of something than a remake. But if it's a, you know, if it's a completely new team and there's the potential that the new one might be bad or, you know, not capture that same spirit for whatever reason, then yeah, maybe I would rather them tighten the controls. And like there's so much stuff from the 64 in particular when 3D and like the PlayStation 1 era, when 3D is first starting out and you've got these like draw distances are appalling and everything's very rudimentary and the controls are a little clunky.
Rudimentary.
There's a lot of stuff from there that I'd love to see just given a new, you know, like the stuff that I loved on the Nintendo 64, a lot of that I would love to see in HD and completely redone from the ground up.
Yes.
Like not just a, not just an up-resing, like a full Resident Evil style.
Right.
Yes.
It's hard to answer that because the answer is everything and nothing.
Yeah.
The James Bond 007 game that came out on the PS2, James Bond Everything or Nothing. That's what I want to see remade. But with Daniel Craig in the titular role of 007 Everything or Nothing.
I think I stick by my perspective. I also acknowledged Final Fantasy VII Remake was like my second favorite game of last year.
Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes were great.
All right, let's maybe end off on this question from our friend, Alex Dullard, who's done some good stuff for us, animations and things. His question is, what are your comfort food games?
When are you going to pay me?
Why do you keep calling me your friend?
Yeah, comfort food games. I think this is a fun question. Mm. I reckon it's games that are not necessarily the best games in the world. Probably old games.
Yeah.
I reckon ones like Skyrim for me, or even Morrowind, like old, reliable games that I can still get lost in. And like, yeah, nostalgia games. Super Mario Brothers 3, I love playing every time I play it.
Mm-hmm.
I have played hundreds of hours of Picross and Picross 3D.
Oh, yes.
Those games are just, you can switch your brain completely off and focus on them. Things like Factorio and those types of games, probably like Civilization for you, Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's something that is straightforward, has a clear set of rules, and won't fucking yell at you, then you can escape. Like I something simple like a puzzle game, I'll get sucked into those.
Yeah. Civ is a good call. Yeah. Like starting a new Civilization game on the third easiest difficulty and knowing like, this is not going to be too challenging, but you know, the routine of it and the like the exploration and like the familiarities of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super comforting. Yeah.
Yeah, any kind of puzzle game, any kind of like match three, like Grindstone is just like right in that wheelhouse. Tetris, and then just any Mario platformer, honestly, 2D or 3D. They're all so consistent across the board. And yeah, even if it's one I've played a dozen of times, just picking up and hooning through again.
Yeah.
Always fun.
Yeah. Nice. I don't find games comforting anymore. I quit playing video games, like I said at the start of this podcast. So that's my actual answer.
Thanks for the questions.
My comfort game. Fucking.
Whoa. Oh, dude.
Yeah, it is a game to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I cum in my fort. I call my bed my cum fort. Cum fort game.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. There's a few more here that, are really interesting questions, video game related. Heaps of ones that are like, how did you get started in comedy? What's your favorite movie?
I'll tell you when I do.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, one of them was, how do I join the Discord server?
We can tell you that on our Patreon. We should make that clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is clear, I think.
There's a link to it on our Twitter profile.
You'll be able to find it. Yep. We'll suit you up, though.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up there, guys. Thanks for joining us. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the stuff we've been talking about. Get on the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week. Check out the YouTube Let's Play videos of Heavy Rain we've been doing. And, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
In 2005, I did stand up at my mum's school where she taught. They had a stand-up night there. And so I went and did like a sketch that involved me talking to a stapler sitting at a desk. And after that, I did a competition called Class Clowns because my drama teacher submitted me for that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.